All right, let's try this again. Good? Okay. All right, that was fun. Technology is awesome. All right, well, we'll go ahead and open up, guys, with some announcements, let you guys know some upcoming events and activities, and then we'll pray and get into our devotion for this evening. So thank you guys for coming out tonight. Pray you've had a great week already. One thing I do want to share real quick, you guys heard about this on Sunday, is the missionary scavenger hunt. So this is something right out here at the missionary wall. And so just go over, there's one of the boards on the wall, has them in there. Just go ahead and grab one. Pretty self-explanatory, kind of walks you through all kinds of different things that you can do surrounding missions, our missionaries, things in scripture related to missions. And then when you're all done, you put your name on the bottom and maybe get everyone in your family one and kind of do it together. That would be really cool if you've got young ones. But it's a great way to kind of get into missions. And so again, if it's something that you want to do, there is a little prize for the kids. The adults get a prize too, right? Okay, while supplies last. Going fast. You definitely want to get in now. And if you're wondering what the prize is, do the scavenger hunt and then you'll find out what the prize is. So you definitely want to get it. It's awesome. So check this out. It's at the missionary wall. Again, encourage you to be a part of it. And again, if you've got young ones, this is a great way to get them into missions and kind of do it in a fun way. So some of the stuff you go to the missionary wall for, the letters, some of it, it's just asking questions about scripture. So definitely a way to do it at home and here at the church. So also, just want to let you know, and there'll be more about this in the bulletin on Sunday, we are doing our Mother's Day breakfast again. And so if you remember the last couple of years, our junior church ministry, which is first through sixth grade, they put on a breakfast on Mother's Day from 9 to 10. So they're doing that again this year. So if you have a child that would want to be interested in that or be a part of that, and they're in our junior church, or maybe they're not even a part of junior church, but you would like them to be a part of this event, you can make sure they're here by 8:30. So 8:30, we try to have as many of the kids here as possible so we can get little stations going and get all the food ready to go. And again, between 9 and 10, we usually don't run out of food, but you definitely don't want to be coming close to 10 because you may not get as many options. So definitely want to encourage you to be a part of that. And this is for anyone that wants to be a part of the breakfast. So dads are welcomed. Any men are welcomed. It's not just moms. I know it's a Mother's Day breakfast, but the whole family's invited. Because I always think a few years ago we started this. And I walked by and there's like three men out here in the hallway just like looking in the fellowship hall at the food. And I was like, what's going on? And they were like, oh, well, we just, you know, it looks really good. And I'm like, well, go get some breakfast. And they're like, we're not moms. Isn't that just for moms? No, it's for the whole family. So come on in. It's going to be great. With that, we are trying to also have a photo area again set up, ready to go. So that should be ready to go for you guys as well to get some pictures while you're here. And again, that's probably going to be digital. I think we get it printed. I'll get you more information on that, the details on that. But usually it's just a little donation towards the printing if you want a photo printed rather than just digital. So again, it's a great way to encourage people to come on out to service that day. It's going to be a lot of fun. So also, making sure you guys know this coming Sunday is communion, so don't miss out on that. We will have communion in the morning service. Also, just a reminder, we have Good Friday service coming up a week from this Friday. So that's going to be at 7 p.m. It's a great service to come to for a worshipful experience. And so we kind of describe it as an intimate worship service between you and the Lord, but we do it together. So come on out, Good Friday. There will be childcare available, and we'll get you some more information on that. And we got to figure all that out. But we will have childcare available. We're thinking right now maybe like sixth grade and up will just be in the service or come to the service, but the younger ones will have a place for them to go as well. So also, April 27th, we have our teen ministry snack night, so don't forget about that. The 26th, we have Widow's Banquet, so we're still looking for some help on that. If you're going to go to the Welcome Center, you can sign up for all different kinds of areas to help with that. Encourage you to do so. Also, Discovering Church Membership. We've had a couple people ask about membership in the church recently, so we are doing another class. That's going to be the 27th of April and May 4th. So we're having two classes, the two Sundays after Easter. And then also, just a reminder, ladies, May 10th is the Spring Ladies event, Rooted and Reaching, and so you don't want to miss out on that. The cost is $10 children 12 and under are free. And then our own Kendra Rasko will be doing the devotion for that. So you can sign up at the Welcome Center. Again, it's a great event to come to, ladies. Invite family and friends to join you. It's going to be awesome. All right. I think that's all the announcements I have, unless anyone has any questions or comments, anything like that. Oh, yes. Someone didn't put that in the bulletin, so I don't know. It's not in there, so I don't know how that got missed. So, oh, that's right. That's why. Yeah. Good save. So she actually did the right thing. So home plate, just a reminder, home plate is coming up May 10th. And so tonight is really kind of the last night. We want to be getting orders in for that so Greg can order the tickets tomorrow to make sure they're ready to go. So if you have not done so already, please sign up tonight, and you can pay as well. Make sure you do that before you leave. If you have any questions on that, you can see Pastor Greg before you leave tonight. But try to get signed up tonight. So May 10th, the event starts at 3 o'clock, and I believe the game is at 6 o'clock. So definitely want to encourage you guys to be a part of Home Plate if you can. It's a great event. Get to some great Christian testimonies, hear the word, and a Tigers game is included as well. So it's a great event. Any other comments, questions, or thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yep.
Huge praise. They did get her to Singapore. She was able to get blood transfusions.
Okay.
Enough to get her back to the United States.
Oh, amen. She is home. Okay, praise the Lord. Yep, I know that's in the prayer guide for tonight, the new one. But praise the Lord that the Lord took care of that and answered those prayers. Amen. Absolutely. Praise the Lord that she's home. We were praying for her, that she'd be able to get back to the States, battling various health concerns, missionary in Indonesia. So we're excited that she is home. Anyone else? All right. Before we pray, I'm just going to throw it out there. If no one wants to, that's totally fine. I was thinking tonight, actually, that we have somebody that helps with connection, setting up the coffee and all that stuff before service on a Wednesday night, and then maybe helping, not so much cleaning it up, but we put away the hot chocolate and the apple cider because the little ones, when they get done with their class, they come rushing the counter, and we've had a little bit of, not an issue, but a little bit of where we've got young ones that are getting hot chocolate that maybe mom and dad don't know they're getting hot chocolate, and then that's in the vehicle and so on and so forth. So after service is over, before we go to prayer, we usually put that back under the counter. So if there's anyone that would be interested, all it would be is be coming a little bit early on Wednesday night to help get it set up, maybe like 6:20, 6:15, something like that. If you're interested in helping with that, let me know. It doesn't have to be an every week thing, but if you can just want to help out once a month or every couple of weeks, that's fine. So just let me know if you're interested. If not, we'll keep doing what we're doing, which is totally fine. But I just thought maybe I would throw it out there if anybody's looking for a way to plug in and serve in a simple way. This is a great way, an easy way to kind of serve and start off on that. So if you're interested, let me know. All right. Well, let's pray. And we'll ask the Lord to be with our time together this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord, just for all that you do, gathering us together, bringing us here, Lord, to worship you and to spend time together in your word. I pray, Lord, that we would just be attentive to what you have for us. Lord, thank you for the word. It is the reason we gather. It is why we come together. It is the source of our faith and practice. It is why we believe what we believe. Lord, it is our foundation. And so, Lord, I pray that as we dive into your word in just a few moments, that you'd give us understanding. By the working of the Holy Spirit, give us the ability to discern what it has for us. And Lord, that we would apply these things to our hearts and minds. And Father, we thank you for tonight, all the ministries that are taking place tonight, Lord, for the kids. We pray that you would just be with each leader, small group leader, everyone teaching the word tonight, Lord, from the teens to the kids, the Gopher Buddies. Lord, we think even about the nursery, Lord, as I know they're just watching the young ones, Lord, but I know that they're encouraging them with the word, whether it be through song, glorified, and that the word of encouragement. So, Lord, in any way that the word is being communicated tonight, I pray that you would be glorified and that the word would accomplish its intended purpose, which we know it will, which is to draw us to faith in Christ, to grow us in our faith in Christ, and, Lord, to just draw us close to you. And so, Father, again, we thank you so much for every leader, volunteer, helper, those who are serving in so many ways. And we pray you'd bless them in a mighty way. And Father, again, we thank you for today, an opportunity to come together as the body of Christ. I pray that we would not take it for granted, but that we would, with anticipation, look forward to what you have for us. Lord, I truly believe that every time the word is open, that you desire to move among us and to speak to our hearts and minds, to draw us closer to you and conform us to the image of Christ. Lord, you move anytime we gather. But Lord, so often I know in my own life, over the years, I've been dull of hearing. Lord, I didn't receive what you had for me, not because you weren't moving, but because I wasn't listening. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us, myself included, to hear what you have for us, to understand, and to apply. Father, again, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Be with all the different things going on, Lord, in the lives of our church family. Bring healing to those that are struggling. Comfort those that are going through a difficulty. And, Lord, for those that are just rejoicing and praising you, we give you again all the praise. Father, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 is where we're going to be. And so I mentioned last week that we kind of did a little bit of a mini talk on prayer. And so as I was thinking about what we could do tonight, felt led to kind of continue in that area of prayer. This is not like a series or anything so far, but it's just something I felt kind of led to kind of center on for a little bit tonight and last week. And so we will we'll be doing a study at some point here through the book of Ezra. That was one of the requested topics that somebody asked. Could we study the book of Ezra? And so we'll be going through that at some point here, a wonderful Old Testament book. If you were study, maybe it's a Bible book, maybe it's a passage, maybe you just have a question about a belief in Christianity, a doctrinal question, whatever it might be, let me know. And what I try to do is put together something about that. Sometimes it's a one-time message. Sometimes it's a four-week message. Somebody requested Isaiah. I think we were in Isaiah for like, 8 months or something. Obviously, Genesis is probably the record for most weeks. But any of those kind of things, we'd love to study those things together. All right. So Luke chapter 11. So as I said, I want to continue in the area of prayer by looking at the passage I mentioned last week. We didn't turn there, but I mentioned last week the idea of the disciples asking Jesus how to pray. It's the only thing they asked Jesus for him to teach them. They didn't ask to do miracles. They didn't ask to be a great teacher. They didn't ask to be able to do different things, the miracle working. They asked, Lord, teach us to pray. So I want to kind of go to that actual passage and unpack that a little bit. As last week, we talked about our prayer lives being a reflection of what we really believe about God, right? How we believe about God. I keep saying last week, 2 weeks ago. The things we view of God, how we view God directly connects to our prayer life. If I believe God is unlimited in his abilities, then I should pray like he's an unlimited God. If I believe that God can do the impossible, then I should pray like he can do the impossible. But so often we pray not on God's ability, but on our ability. Like what we think can take place, we pray according to that. And we sometimes will be fearful of praying those big, dangerous prayers. And they're dangerous in the sense that I'm asking God to move and I'm trusting that he's going to. But in the back of our minds and our flesh, we're like, but what if he doesn't? Or what if he can't? And so that's why it's kind of gives us pause to pray those kind of prayers. But I believe we can pray big prayers. We can pray and ask God to do great things because we're praying based on his ability, not my understanding, not my ability. And so in that same vein, I want to go to this passage in Luke chapter 11 where the disciples ask this question. So verses 1 through 4 is where we're going to start to read and kind of get involved. And so verses 1 through 4, if somebody would like to read that for us this evening to get us started. David, awesome. Okay, so here we have, thank you, sir. So we have this example prayer, the model prayer, and we have the question the disciples ask Jesus, which is, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, before we get into the whole passage, we're actually going to read all the way down through verse 10. Before we get into all of that, I want to give you a little bit of a summary of what this passage, verses 1 through 10, is kind of speaking to. And I love the way the pulpit commentary kind of lays this out. It says this, the whole passage, that verses 1 through 10, follows naturally the Lord's own formula of prayer. The teaching contained in verses 1 through 13 may be well summarized as the master's lesson on prayer. The disciples, when they heard Jesus pray, asked him to instruct them in the holy art. The Lord then suggested to them a series of short subjects for constant prayer and further gave them words in which they could embody these subjects, and then proceeded to press upon them that this constant seeking help from God should never be interrupted. No discouragements were ever to prevent their praying. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus gives them a model prayer. And in that model prayer, we're not to pray these words verbatim. We don't have to say this prayer and only this prayer. It's an example prayer. But in that example, we have some great subjects, some great ways to pray. And I love praying scripture. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, some great passages where Paul tells us what he's praying for the church. And so we see great examples in prayer. And so here, Jesus does that very thing. But the whole point is, he's teaching them a pattern of prayer so that they will learn to pray without interruption. And so in verses 1 through 4, we see them say, teach us to pray. So the model prayer, or we might call this the Lord's Prayer, is also found in Matthew chapter 6 during the Sermon on the Mount. And that's an example where we usually get referenced is Matthew chapter 6. But here we see the same prayer. It's important to note that this is not the prayer the Lord prayed when he was in the garden. Where do we find, this is the model prayer, where do we find the actual Lord's prayer, like what he actually prayed for in the garden? Where's that passage? Does anyone know? So John chapter 17, and I'll encourage you to jot it down because it's an amazing chapter. John 17, we read Jesus's actual prayer. And he prays for himself to be glorified in the Father to be glorified in the Son. He prays for the apostles and their ministry that they're going to be going through in the book of Acts. But who else does he pray for in that Lord's Prayer? Yeah, he prays for the church. That's why it's an amazing chapter to read. He says, I pray for these, the apostles, but I also pray for those who believe because of their word. So the Lord is saying these apostles are going to go out and they're going to write scripture. They're going to preach the gospel. And because of that, so many more people are going to be saved in future generations. And so Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, was praying for you. So think about that for a second. He's going to the cross. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Pastor Greg talked about this on Sunday as far as the power of the cross and the reach of the cross. The cross of Christ, as he was preparing himself to go through all of that torture, all of that pain, you were literally on his mind. Like he was praying for you, sitting in this room, what I was going to do, I wouldn't have died for me. But yet he knew all of that. And so again, he prayed in John 17 for you. But here we see, while maybe not the specific Lord's Prayer, because we know that he prayed right before this, right? They said he was praying in a certain place. And they waited till he was finished, probably a good idea, didn't want to interrupt. And then once he was finished, they asked their question. So here, the Lord is praying, and his disciples ask him this very important question. And it's interesting to note that this is the only thing they ask him to be taught. Now, what do they use as an example when they say, teach us to pray? Who do they reference? Teach us to pray as so-and-so taught their disciples to pray. John, right? Now, in Luke's account, it just says John, but we know this is John the Baptist. This is not John the Apostle, obviously, because he's one of the disciples asking to be taught to pray. And so this John is John the Baptist, and they say, teach us to pray the same way that John taught his disciples to pray. So we have to pause. So this now gives us a little insight into the life of John the Baptist. This would imply that John the Baptist was a man of prayer. The disciples saw a similarity to how Jesus prayed and how John prayed. That's a pretty big testimony to John, that John and Jesus prayed in a similar way to the degree where the disciples saw a similarity and said, we want to learn how to pray like that. Like, could you teach us to pray that way? So the question we must ask is, how do the disciples know? Because obviously John the Baptist's ministry kind of begins to fade out as Jesus' ministry is beginning. And then we know ultimately John is, what, arrested? And then what happens to John? is beheaded, right, for his faith because he dared to challenge the leadership, challenge Herod and say, that's not appropriate. You can't do that. And so John's been beheaded. He's going to be martyred. And so how do these disciples that are followers of Jesus know how John taught his disciples how to pray? Go ahead, Britt. What? Andrew. And who else? Because you're right. John, right? John and Andrew. So John, the apostle, was a disciple of John the Baptist. And so was Andrew. We get this in John chapter 1, right? John and Andrew are there when Jesus comes to get baptized. John says, this is the Lamb of God, right? Behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away. That's so key. Does not cover. Jesus didn't cover our sins like all the Old Testament sacrifices covered sin. He takes them away. Hebrews 10. Once and for all, he sacrificed himself. And so they saw Jesus come. He was baptized. As soon as Jesus is done being baptized and starts to walk away, John and Andrew, I believe, looked at John the Baptist and said, it's been great. We've enjoyed being around you. We're going to go follow the Messiah. And so they begin to follow Jesus, the first two disciples. Isn't it interesting? John goes and gets James, and Andrew goes and gets Peter. So we see instantly they're following Christ. That's how it flows out of us. So isn't it interesting? When we come to Christ, what do we instantly want to do? Our family, you need Jesus. Here, I'm going to bring you to Christ. Our friends, you need to come to Jesus. And so these disciples then saw practically, John and Andrew specifically, how John taught his disciples to pray. They saw John's prayer life firsthand. Now, as you think about this and think about the power of prayer there, I want to read what Warren Wiersbe writes in his commentary. And I just was going to read it instead of typing it out. And so bear with me. It's a little bit long, but I want to read this for us. And that's okay. We probably won't get through the whole devotion anyway, so you're fine. So he says here in his commentary on Luke 11, 1 through 13, this section is entitled The Priority of Prayer. I love that. There is a huge priority in the Christian life for prayer. But as I said last week, all the scriptures that tell us to pray, all the scriptures that admonish us to pray, all the examples of people in scripture praying, and yet where does the church primarily focus its attention? On studying the Bible or on prayer? So much on studying the Bible. Is that bad? No. I love studying the Word of God. I love reading all the different views and commentaries and theological works that are out there. I mean, God has done amazing things to put God's Word into people's minds and hearts so they can communicate it in this way. I love studying the Word. I love it. But I feel like we're in a time in church culture, and it's been like this for quite a while, where if you said, we're doing a Bible study on this controversial topic, so many people would come. Well, I want to hear that. Yeah, I want to hear what that has to say. But if I said, we're just going to have a prayer meeting, not as many people would come. Well, that's kind of boring. That's not really interesting. I'll never forget Jim Cimbala. This is why we don't get through devotions, by the way, because you guys just let me keep going. Jim Cimbala in Fresh Faith, Fresh Fire, I'll never forget this. He said, and he's the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I don't know if he still is, actually. Last I knew he was. I don't know if anyone knows that, but he wrote a few different works on prayer and things like that. And I don't agree with everything Jim Cimbala says, but I love this what he wrote in this book. He said, you can tell the popularity of the church on Sunday morning attendance. So if you look at a normal church, the popularity of the church, that could be programs, that can be the praise band, that can be just the fellowship and relationships. The popularity of the church is pretty evident on Sunday mornings. I don't know if I agree with this. You can see the popularity of the pastor by Sunday night attendance. I thought that was kind of funny. Because usually it's pretty simple and it's more down to earth and more low key. But he said, but you can tell the popularity of Jesus by prayer meeting attendance. Now that's not how it should be. But if we're being honest, in average churches today, that's how it is. This is why, if we're being honest, most churches have canceled prayer meetings. Now, some of you that are later on in years, and you've been around church for a long time, you remember prayer meeting. Churches started saying, well, no one's coming. So as crowd goes down, the priority of that service goes down. It's not nearly as important. So we'll just get rid of it. And we'll add this other Bible study in, or we'll add this other time of studying God's word. And we'll do something like that because that'll draw more people in. And so it caters to the apathy of prayer and encourages and enables a lack of prayer in the church. And then we're surprised why churches are struggling in their doctrine, struggling in their understanding, being filled with crowds and not building a church. Why we have to do all these silly things to get people to come to church. We got to entertain everybody and make sure everybody's happy and it's this cool thing and that cool trend. And we're not praying. I'm not saying us as a church. I believe that we're unique. I love getting together and praying together, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night. We try to pray a lot in our church. It was so awesome. Two Sunday nights ago, we finished our devotion a little early. And I just felt led to pray for Easter and pray for coming services and people coming in and for the Lord to work and the gospel to go forth. And so we spent, I don't know, it was probably a good 30 minutes and just open free prayer on a Sunday night. And hearing God's people pray is so amazing. But prayer is not an afterthought. Prayer is not just what we do to open and close Bible study. Prayer is a priority. So I love what Wiersbe says. Let me get to the reference. He says this. We usually think of John the Baptist as a prophet and martyr, and yet our Lord's disciples remembered him as a man of prayer. Now, he was a prophet and he was a martyr, but primarily he's remembered as a man of prayer. John was a miracle baby filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born, and yet he had to pray. He was privileged to introduce the Messiah to Israel, and yet he had to pray. Jesus said that John was the greatest of the prophets, Luke 7:28, and yet John had to depend on prayer. If prayer was this vital to a man who had these many privileges, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, Jesus says. The last Old Testament prophet introduced the Messiah to the world, baptized Jesus, and yet was a man of prayer. So why did John do all these great things? Why was John able to be used by God in such a great way? Because of John's personality? Because of his charisma? His ability to preach and teach? Because of his wardrobe? No. Because of his diet? Absolutely not. I tried a like granola kind of bar with honey and, what was he ate? Honey and grasshoppers or locusts? Locusts. And somebody found those. Were you here when we did this? Do you remember this? Yeah, great. You guys tried it too. Yeah, absolutely disgusting. Absolutely the grossest thing I've ever eaten in my life. Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a bite. I mean, a little tiny corner of a piece. So I don't know what's going on there, why you guys thought it was so great, but it was gross. But saying that, what was it about John that drew people out to the middle of the wilderness to hear this crazy man preaching the kingdom? Because he preached with authority. He preached with power. Where did that power come from? Not from John the Baptist, but it came from the Holy Spirit because he was a man of prayer. And so this here we see is gives us an insight into John the Baptist's prayer life. But also, what does this teach us about Jesus's prayer life? What does it teach us about how the disciples saw prayer? Let me pause for a second. What was it about Jesus's prayer life? The disciples said, we got to learn that. Like, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we got to learn how to pray like John and like Jesus. Well, how did Jesus pray? Well, Jesus prayed often, sometimes openly. He would pray before he would do a miracle of the blessing of the food of the 5,000. He prayed openly there. But also, he would pray privately. He prayed all night before choosing his disciples in Luke chapter 6. That's not a figurative, I don't believe. When it says, and Jesus prayed all night, I literally think that meant all night. Some of us, we're closer to the disciples. They couldn't pray for an hour without falling asleep. I know I tend to be more on that side of the spectrum than on the all-night side of the spectrum. And so here we see Jesus prayed all night. This is the Son of God. And by the way, why did Jesus pray all night for his disciples before he chose his disciples? Was he praying for who to choose? No. Because he knew who he was going to choose. He knew before the foundations of the world who his disciples were going to be. Because he also knew Judas would betray him before he ever created Adam and Eve. So why would he spend all night praying for these disciples? Well, I believe he was praying for the disciples. I believe he was praying for the disciples to be strong in the Lord. What does he tell Peter? The enemy desires to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. That's encouraging. Yeah, the enemy's attacking Peter, but I've prayed for you. Now, did Peter win that temptation? Well, not the first time, not the second time, not the third time. But when Jesus rose again and sat down next to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" Peter saw victory. And Peter was used by Jesus to preach on the day of Pentecost where 3,000 got saved. And so again, here we see that God is encouraging these disciples. I'm praying for you. And by the way, what does Jesus do for us today? He's praying for us. Sitting on the right hand of the throne of the Father, making intercession for us. So not only did he pray all night long in one case for his disciples, we also read in Mark chapter 1 that he prayed after a long night of ministry. The Bible says that he was in a city and he was doing this work and preaching and miracle working, and the city started bringing all of their sick and possessed to him. And it says he did this until the early morning. So we're talking maybe 1, 2 in the morning. He's ministering, he's preaching, he's doing all these things all day, all night doing this ministry. And then somewhere between ending the ministry and early morning before the sun came up, he went away to a separate place to pray. To the point where he was praying and Peter came and found him and said, "Lord, all men seek after you. Don't you care? Don't you care? Everyone's looking for you." Jesus says, "Let's go to another city so we can continue to preach the gospel." What was Jesus modeling there? Even after all that ministry and before another full day of ministry, what did Jesus know he needed to do? Spend time with the Father and pray. Now again, he is God and he has all that he needs being God. So why then does he model this for us to show us an example? We can get so caught up in ministry and doing and life and we go, "I'm just too busy." But the reality is, if prayer is a priority, we will make time for it. The truth is, we will always make time for the things we want to make time for. You will. You love that thing. You love that hobby. You love doing that thing. You will find time to do it in the course of a day or a week. But the question we have to ask is it a priority or is it an afterthought? I pray when I have time. I pray in the morning before I get up and before I go to bed. That's fine. That's great. But man, it should be a continual conversation with Christ, with the prayer life of Christ. They saw a direct connection between the things that Christ was doing and the prayer life that Christ had with the Father. We make the mistake of connecting the power of God in someone's life with their gifts, talents, or personality. Well, of course God would use someone like that. Look at how good they are at that. Look how talented they are. Look how gifted they are. I could never be used of God to do that. I'm not a great speaker like that. I can't sing like that. I'm not gifted like them. I'm not as outgoing as them. And we think that God's power is dependent again upon our gifts and talents and abilities. We credit God moving to someone's personality or someone's talents or their gifts. The problem is when those things are credited for the things we see God doing, it denies that it was truly the Spirit of God at work if it was truly a work of God. Because here's the truth. There are a lot of gifted people out there that can grow a crowd. There are a lot of gifted people out there that can run a great business. And in the church, a lot of places, the church is treated like a corporation. It's just about getting the bottom line taken care of and building a business and building a name and building a brand and all that stuff. And there's some great people that are able to do that. I wouldn't say that's a work of God, though. But when you see someone that you go and, that person, God used them. Every day I sit in my office and one of my key verses is when God says through the Apostle Paul that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's my ministry verse because that's me. I sit at my desk all the time like, "Lord, you, how, why? No way." We all feel that way, right? If we're really honest with ourselves. So how does God use people like a few fishermen that weren't educated in religious matters? That when they stand before the Sanhedrin, they go, "These guys are uneducated and unlearned men. They're ignorant." This is what the religious leaders looked at the disciples, the apostles, and said, "Who are you guys?" But then they said the key thing that makes all the difference in the world. But these men spent time at the feet of Jesus in prayer. And I mean, just not these popcorn prayers, just throwing up these quick things. That's fine in a moment. But do we have a scheduled, real, dedicated, committed time to say, "This is when I spend time with the Lord"? And we've been talking about this in our men's Bible study, having that time to spend with the Lord, to seek him and to ask him to work in us, to have a dialogue with him. And we know that I don't believe he talks to us audibly, but I do believe that when we're praying, he will move in the Spirit in a way to guide us and lead us, and he'll open our understanding to the Word of God. And we, as we study God's word, we should pray before we open God's word. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to know your word. Help me not to be presumptuous of what this text is saying and just think I know. Give me understanding, Lord. I need that. And then what do we pray when we're done studying the word? Lord, help me to apply what I just read. Because I can't. I'm weak and I'm feeble. And I can't do this. Help me to know how to live this out for your glory. And so Bible study is so important. But I truly believe that if we are going to be the church that we're called to be, we have to make prayer a priority. And that's not just corporate prayer when we all prayed here at the beginning of service. That's part of it. It's individual prayer when we're praying on our own, praying with our spouse, praying with our children, spending time developing that habit in your children. Teach your children to pray. There's no greater blessing you can provide to your child than teaching them how to go to the Father. Because here's the truth. One day, you won't be available to help them, but he's always available. So teach them to go to their Father, to go to him and seek his face. But also it means coming together and praying when we can hear as well. And so it's a mixture of all those things. And so we're going to stop right here. Next week, we're going to continue through the passage, and we're going to see the fervency of prayer. We saw the priority of prayer tonight. Next week, we'll see the fervency of prayer, because there's a story that follows this passage. It's one of my all-time favorite stories for so many reasons. But I love what Jesus uses as an illustration for the fervency of prayer. So let's do this. We're going to pray, and we'll let ourselves be dismissed to our small group time of prayer. And so again, we invite everyone to be a part of this. I would love to see everyone be a part of this if you can. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to fear what someone's going to think or say. You just come together for prayer. It's such an encouragement. And so if you can stay and be a part of that, we invite you to do that. Men, we're down in the office. Ladies are down in the nursing room down here. Just so you know, too, in the summer, because this Word of Life and stuff, sometimes in the summer, they're able to take the kids outside for the summer blast. We'll try to do prayer time together in here in the summer. It's just really hard when they're all going crazy over there to spend time in prayer. And so we will be doing that as well. So just looking ahead, just so you know, we will be doing that as well. So, but if you could join us tonight as we break into our groups, that would be amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We come before you, not in our own strength, but in the blood of Christ. That we are only able to pray. We're only able to lay our request at your feet. We're only able to come before you, as my own prayer life is not what it could be. There are days where I don't really give you that dedicated time as I should. I pray, but Lord, if I'm honest, there's sometimes when my prayers, I get a few lines in before I realize what I'm even saying. But Lord, if we're praying to the God of all creation, if we're praying to the one who saved us from our sins, we're praying to the one who we will stand before one day and we'll see the nail prints, we'll see the scars of the crown of thorns. We will know what it cost to give us this time right now. How can we not see it as a priority? Lord, help us not to take prayer for granted. Help us, Lord, not to fill our time of prayer with just requests. Of course, we bring our requests. You're our Father. You ask us to come boldly. The things that burden us, the anxieties we have, you ask us to and give us the encouragement to cast them at your feet. But Lord, may we not fill our prayer time with just requests and what we want or what we need. May we also spend time reflecting over the great gift prayer is, the God that we're praying to. Your glory, your majesty, your praise. And Father, I pray that we would be a church that would be known as a church that prays. And I thank you, Lord, that we are a church that prays. I love hearing people ask people for prayer requests and hearing people that weeks after the person asks, they follow up with that person and ask, how you doing on that or how's so-and-so doing? Lord, we're so blessed with believers who give themselves to prayer. But Lord, I pray that it'd be a discipline we would continue to hold to. And so Father, again, help us to be a church that prays. I truly believe that we will not see you move as I know you can without prayer. And that's not just my opinion, Lord. We see that all through scripture before a great move of prayer. And so Lord, help it not to be about the evident hand of God at work when we see you do great things for your glory. Father, again, go with us as we go into this time of prayer. Again, may you be glorified in all that is said and done. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. If you can join us for prayer, you're welcome to. If you're unable to, that's fine. The lobby out here is open, and we'll see you guys Sunday morning.